thankful for the messages. I can't improve on anything that's been said. It's all truth. That's what'll make us free, is the Word of God. All right, I know it's lunchtime. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. It is a privilege to be here. I was thinking the other day, I can't remember the number of years that's been since I've been coming here. Probably a little more than some of you wasn't even born when we started coming here. All right, verse number 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Verse number 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Amen. Verse 21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Heavenly Father, we pray this day for your guidance. We ask, dear God, that you be with us for the next few moments. Dear God, within myself, I'm not capable, but Lord, I have to look unto thee. And dear God, I do thank you for Calvary today, and I thank you for the preaching that's been all gone on before us today. And those that will be preaching, Lord, I pray that you'll be with them. Lord, be with every phase of this service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. All right, for a few moments this morning, I want to think about the place of the cross. Amen. The place of the cross. Amen. You'll notice he said in verse number 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. We've got the preaching of the cross, and you've got perishing, those that are on the road today. Then you've got saved, those that's on a different road this morning. And this is the preaching of the cross, that subject of the testimony, that which has been said from the cross. And here in verse number 21, and after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's the proclamation of the things there. Now the cross was where many evil things were transpired that day, but it was also a place of good things there. God gathered all the evil in the universe and brought it to one place right outside of Jerusalem there. And we find that there's all the evil God made good there. We have there, it was a place of a substitution of life for life. The just suffering for the unjust. The holy bearing the sins of all mankind. But Paul said here, that he didn't preach with the wisdom of words. It's the old rugged cross that Paul's talking about. It's the old cross that's not been smoothed out and not had an ornament on it, hadn't been painted, but it's that old rugged cross where that work that was done there and Jesus cried out, it is finished there. It's like that pole they put up in the wilderness. And God told them to look under that pole with the serpent, brazen serpent there. It wasn't a painted pole. It was a bare pole. That cross is a bare cross today. It's the old rugged cross. I'm glad today to be numbered as an old fundamental Bible-believing Baptist. I'm not a recovering fundamentalist. This morning, I'm just trying to get more into it. I'm not trying to get out of it. I'm trying to get more into it this day. Christ, He hang on that cross, and He said,
It is finished. Today, many is looking at a smooth cross. They're looking at a cross today that they can still be friends with the world. That old Adam have no restrictions upon him. He still got all his freedom. That cross that they go to and the work that they look at, it don't slay the sinner when he comes. But that old rugged cross, it's a symbol of death. I believe Paul said in the book of Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20, he says, I am crucified with Christ. Co-crucifixion there. I am crucified. Then there's a contrast. He said, Nevertheless, I live. But not I. Not I. But it's Christ that liveth in me. You know, I think about the message has been preached this morning, and especially about the Word. You know, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then the Word was made manifest. You know, if I got Christ living in me, this book. You know, I've heard a lot of folks say you can divide Christ from the book. No, friend. No. We have got too many believing unbelievers. Just like Simeon in the book of Acts chapter 8. He believed, but he was an unbeliever. And we've got he was believed, he was baptized, he followed, but he was an unbeliever. He was going to perish. And so we got a lot of those going on today with us. Now, the place of the cross, it was a place of propitiation. Romans 3:25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. That work that went on Calvary, when He cried out, it's finished. That was pleasing to God. That's exactly, propitiation means satisfaction. That God would be satisfied. And when He raised Him from the dead, it was completed. He said, I am satisfied. God's justice was satisfied there on Calvary. There was a wrath that was directed toward me and all mankind, and it was against ungodliness and unrighteousness and all those that hold down the truth. First of all, it was against ungodliness, against God. And you know, I hadn't looked at that, but I've slept on it since I did look at it. And sometimes you get old, you have to go back and refresh. But I believe in that ungodliness, you're going to find irreverence. Irreverence. And let me, you know, thank God for these younger preachers. Thank God they didn't come in, you know, with a shirt just without a collar on it. And they come in with, they have a collar with unbuttoned. I don't go over this dress down mess, folks. That's just leading you further and further away from God, getting a congregation to be more worldly. I mean, we ought to reverence God. You can irreverence God in your dress and the way you present yourself in the house of God. If you're preaching, you ought to be the example and show the people how they are to conduct and present themselves in the house of God. You're not to come with your blue jeans and your sneakers and your t-shirt and get up and teach the people. You need some teaching. You need the Holy Ghost to get a hold of you and lead and guide you into this book. And He was satisfied yonder on Calvary. And I'll show you today, if you are right with God, you're going to be word controlled. Yes, sir. You know, how was that wrath removed? is by the faith in His blood. The blood, that's the blood that cleanses us from all sin. You know, many folks say, you know, God is love, and He is love. He would not hurl a soul into hell, but if you'd ask that multitude in Noah's day, they would tell you, to ask those folk down in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would tell you. I mean, if you'd ask old Belshazzar, he would tell you, God is a God of love, but He's also a God of wrath. You know, it's a place that God was satisfied when that blood run down that altar on the cross there, and God looked upon that, He was satisfied. I can't picture, I don't know, just say all that transpired when God pulled the curtain over this world, and when He reached down with that, and He gave him that to drink there on that cross. But I do know this, that God was doing something that I couldn't do. God was helping a little old fella that's in LaRue Hill down yonder in Mississippi. He was doing something for him, giving him the opportunity and the privilege to be able to brought back into fellowship and friendship and be a friend of God. I was God's enemy, but I became a friend through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it was not only a place of satisfaction, it was a meeting place also. You know, He met with Israel there on the mercy seat, over the mercy seat between the cherubims. If you're going to meet with God, a sinner going to meet with God, they're going to meet Him beneath that old rugged cross. Hey, everybody goes to the cross, from the cross to Christ. They all go the same way. We may come to the cross in different ways through providence of God's working, but we all go to God the same way. It's underneath this cross and this cross alone that each sinner finds peace. No peace outside of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the precious blood. Oh, God said that we're redeemed with that precious blood. The blood of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Thank God for the meeting place. And it's also a place of love. You know, we could all quote the verse, but John 3:16. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. That's the greatest degree of love that's ever been manifested to mankind. And the world, that's the greatest company that's ever been. And that He gave here, that's the greatest act, His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, greatest opportunity in Him, should not perish, the greatest promise, but have everlasting life. Oh, God is love. You know, a lot of folks say God is love, but their view of it is that God's love so I can live like I want. Oh, Adam can have his way. He can have his freedom. But no, friend, God is love. And the Bible says in 1 John 4:8, He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world. That's where He came. And the reason, that we might live through Him. Amen. Herein is love. Back to verse 9. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's love. That's God is love. There at Calvary we saw the hatred of man. But when Jesus looked up and saw that crowd out there, and he said, Father, forgive them, because they know not what they do. God, stay your wrath until they can understand what they've done. That's love. That's love. Oh, that's the love. That's where God showed his love for man. Man showed his hatred for God, but God showed his love for them. It's also a place of acceptance. You know, we're accepted in the beloved. Amen and amen. You know, a human being's not accepted for just being a human being. The only way that we could be accepted back unto God is through the blood and the atoning of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's a lot of places that I wouldn't be accepted, and maybe you wouldn't be accepted. But because of the beloved and the grace that was manifested, I'm accepted in heaven. Amen. I'll be accepted. You know, it was a place of guilt, condemnation. It was a place of shame, pain, curse, rejection, hatred, and death. All these places. But thank God for his grace. Thank God for his grace. I think about Paul so many times. When I'm reading some things about in the Bible, you know, sometimes you stand alone if you stand for Bible standards. Because we're gradually over the years we've drifted away from the old Bible standards. That smooth cross is being presented in a lot of places. And they're getting basically getting statements is what they're getting in a card signed in a baptism. We have to allow the Holy Ghost to do the work. It may take a week, it may take a year. But when he does it, it's done right. We just need to do the work. It's already been preached. You know, your work's going to be judged by what sort. That stood out to me. You know, the mega preachers, they don't understand. Maybe they got a lot more responsibility than I got. That sort is what quality you work. Not quantity, but quality. See, I don't have a whole bunch of people. But if you got a whole bunch of people, the quality of your work is going to be judged at the judgment seat. And I'm going to leave this. Paul says, but God forbid that I should glory, that I should boast, save in the cross. Only place he said he was going to boast, if it would boast, of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me. Amen. And I unto the world. See, when Paul got saved, his relationship with the world changed. And the world's relationship with Paul changed. It was different. He didn't have a bed of roses. Paul was saying that both he and the world are dead to each other. I still believe it holds true today. I believe that there's a death taking place when you went to Calvary. This world lost its glamour. That's what glamoured to me, was the world. But when I went to Calvary and the foot of Calvary, I didn't know nothing, Brother Jamie. John 3:16 was foreign to me. I didn't know nothing. But I'll tell you for sure, when I left Calvary, I left a different person. This old world didn't hold anything anymore that I wanted. I didn't desire it anymore. I desired to be more like God. I wanted to know what that book said. I wanted to know about the men in the Bible. I wanted to be like other people were. That was an example to me. First time I went to church after I got saved, preacher taught Sunday school. I was in the class. He taught on Moses. And I said in that class, I said, God, if I could ever learn about Moses, just about him. God, if I just could know, but you know, over the years, I didn't have much education. But when I got saved, I started to pastor. I spent about 12 hours a day, every day, studying and praying. Amen. And I'll tell you what makes a lot of difference is who you study behind. I believe college is in the Bible one time. College simply is just a duplicator. It influences us, and it matters what college you go to. Alma mater, foster mother. Many preachers believe more in what the college taught, the alma mater, than they did in this book. Heavenly Father, pray you'd lead, guide, and direct. Bless the remainder of the meeting in Jesus' name. Amen.